Hey, Andy, how are you?
Don, fantastic to speak with you this morning.
Yeah, same here. You were talking today about your book, The Big Deal, A Practical Guide to Selling Your Business with Confidence and Clarity. Thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about, and this is, I've been asked this myself. It's like, what's your exit strategy? I was like, I have no idea. I have a small boutique real estate office. I've been doing it for 20 some odd years. You know, I guess kind of my side hustle to real estate, my capital building. But at the same time, it's like, I have no idea what that looks like. I don't know if I ever plan on quitting. But so your book is coming in very, at a perfect time for me to start maybe thinking about that.
I'm glad it's prodding you along the process.
So let's talk about the book, The Big Deal, this practical guide to selling your business with confidence and clarity. Who is this book for?
It is for probably age someone, a business owner age 55 to 75, who wakes up maybe 12 months out and says, "You know what? I really want to sell my business, and I don't have a key employee who I can sell it to. And I don't have a next generation child or even grandchild who is interested in taking over the business. So they need to find an outside buyer for the company. And they have never been through this process or this transaction, which is likely the largest lifetime transaction they'll ever go through. And they're just befuddled by the entire process. And it's intended to give them a guide and a starting point to understand the entire process, the challenges, the risks, and the process that they'll go through as they finally turn the reins over to the buyer."
And does it matter what size of business this is? I mean, are we talking anywhere from the sole proprietor, independent contractor, like a massage therapist, hairdresser, all the way up to, you know, a Fortune 500 company?
Right, so I really find that the person who benefits this the most will be anywhere, a company anywhere from the size, it could be as small as $500,000 in revenue, up to about $10 to $15 million in revenue. That is really going to be the who's going to benefit the most. And frankly, it's also going to depend on their existing level of sophistication, just as an individual. Maybe they were part of a large organization in the past and knew all about buying and selling businesses when they were an employee somewhere. They decided to go out and start their own small company or small bakery, and now they're ready to sell the bakery. Well, that person probably already has a fair amount of experience, even though they right now have this small bakery. So it's questionable, in fairness, how much they'll get out of this, having had a lot of experience in the past.
And when someone is in this capacity, this size of business, at what point should they start thinking about selling their business? Or is it something that maybe that should be part of the thought process when they start the business, like how I'm going to maintain this? Or is that impractical?
Well, it's always great to begin with the end in mind. So we would always tell clients when they're starting, "Hey, how are you going to own, operate, run, and manage the business so that at some point down the road, whether that's 5, 10, 15, 25 years, you're ready to sell so that you have that process and all your systems in place while you're as your company is growing." But that's not always the case. Frankly, usually we find people who are just, they wake up, frankly, one day and they decide it's too much of an emotional toll. I'm exhausted and I'm ready to walk away from the business.
And then there is that emotional piece to it when they want to maintain the legacy and making sure they get the right people in and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, I don't know if that's, it's great that they want that, but I don't know if that's a practical outcome.
Right. So the emotional piece is that, and obviously the financial piece are the two largest components of the transaction. Is the person ready to sell? A lot of times they've nurtured what is their baby from infanthood to a mature grown adult, and now they have to let it go to another, to somebody else who's going to nurture it and own it. And that's very difficult. And too often, these business owners have their identity wrapped up in the company. So when they do sell it, they just become lost souls. They don't know what the next stage in their life will look like. So that emotional toll is very important to recognize and to deal with it and to be open about it and to really think about it and learn and listen from your own thoughts about what you want to do after you sell the company. As well, understanding the financial aspects. The first thing we do is, have you spoken with your financial planner about your retirement plan? Period. Full stop. Because if they haven't done that yet, we don't even know if they're in a financial position to sell the company and to live or to have a retirement that they want to and that they're looking forward to. So that is a seminal and important first step to selling your business.
Well, and kind of dissecting that, itemizing the business, it's not necessarily just the structure, but the company, the goodwill. What about when there's, you know, the assets and stocks and how all of that? I mean, just thinking about that just kind of makes me a little dizzy.
Well, that's what hopefully you have your advisors for, whether it's your CPA, your lawyer, your tax advisor. But really, you mentioned two important things, intentionally or unintentionally, and they're great to think about whether you're going to sell the assets of the company or you're going to sell your stock in the company, because those are significant decisions that can have really large tax consequences for you. So right now I'm working on a matter where we're at the very beginning stages and it hasn't even been decided whether it's going to be an asset sale or a stock sale. And I told my client, we can't even go any further until that is resolved because it can dramatically affect the process and the risks and the things we'll pay attention to during the entire course of the transaction, whether it's an asset or stock sale.
And talk about how determining the value of a business. I know in real estate, we look at comps and there's some tangible things we can look at that pretty much kind of make it easy, I guess, or very transparent. But when you're selling a business and there's so many components to it, how do you value each one independently and then come up with a lump sum? How is that done?
So valuing your business is more art than science. And I will say without fail, most business owners truly believe their business is worth more than what the market believes. And ultimately, potential buyers and the market will determine the true worth of your business. Now, that being said, you should always get a valuation before you put your market up for sale because you at least want a baseline or some starting point to understand why your company may be worth more or less or why it sells for more or less than the initial valuation. And there are four primary ways companies of the sizes we discuss are valued. The first is the seller's discretionary earnings. And I always use the example of, this is a person who owns one bakery. It's almost like a job. They go in every day, they sell cookies to the community, cakes, pies. And at the end of the year, they took home a salary of $100,000, put $10,000 in the IRA, and they paid for their health insurance. So all total, they had seller's discretionary earnings of about $135,000. You multiply that by what we call a multiplier, which is an art in determining what that number is. It could be anywhere from 1 to 3, and that's what the value of your company is and what it would be sold for. The next type is the earnings multiplier method. And this is when a company maybe has 4 bakeries spread throughout the community. They have 20 employees, they have supplies and inventory and trucking and delivery, larger insurance issues, more employment issues. They have capital equipment that they're buying. Now, among the 4 of them, they've earned about $500,000. All told and together. You multiply that by maybe 2 to 5, and that's the value of the company, $1 million to $2.5 million. Then the discounted cash flow is for the really large bakery company. Maybe they have 25 or 30 bakeries. It might even be a franchise. And you take that, what you're looking at is, what's my future stream of earnings? What's my future income over the next 10 or 15 years look like? And then you discount that back, and then that becomes the value for the company. And then finally, just like real estate that you mentioned, we look at comparable sales. What have other bakeries sold for in the area? And those are always really hard, just like in real estate. No two pieces of property are exactly the same. Likewise with the business, it might be a different location, different market, different product. So we do look at comparables, but it's often very hard to say that one bakery or one company is exactly like the others.
And what about locating a buyer? How do you market a business and locate a potential buyer for them?
So I am a huge, huge, huge proponent of not DIY. Don't do it yourself. And you don't want to do it yourself for two fundamental reasons. One is you need to keep the entire process confidential. You don't want people calling you and coming to your store and finding out that, oh, you're for sale, and you don't want to tell your employees and other colleagues that it's for sale. And you don't want to ask your competitors or suppliers or customers, hey, do you know anybody who might be interested in my company? I'm interested in selling. Because at that point, the value of the company is likely to decrease because employees are going to leave because they're not sure if they're going to have a job in the future. Customers may leave because they don't know if you're going to be able to supply them in the future. So what we do is we always recommend that you hire a mergers and acquisition advisor who can conduct a confidential sale process for your company. And this is truly, I think, an underappreciated element of of the process. This advisor, as well as your CPA and attorney, will also help you understand a letter of intent and importantly help you understand the due diligence process where a potential buyer comes in and evaluates the entire business that you own and operate.
And that leads to my next question, is how to find an advisor. Questions to ask, the research, the credentials, history. What do you advise to business owners on that front?
Right. So I'm a big believer that referrals are always great from respected colleagues. So if you know people in your industry or even other professional advisors, you can turn to ask and then interview more than one. Because when you only talk to one person, there's no comparison. You don't know if your personalities are going to be are going to mesh, and you don't know what their approach to a transaction is. You don't know their communication style. So you need to talk to a couple different people, and just make you're going to be spending a lot of time with your advisors. So you better make sure you appreciate them, trust them, and like them, because there's going to be these strong bonds formed and a lot of conversations and discussions had. So I will go back in your question, using referrals from your other trusted advisors. And if you can't find those, talk to local, if you're looking for an attorney, talk to the local bar association. If you're looking for a mergers and acquisitions advisor, there may be, here in Detroit, we have what's called the Association for Corporate Growth, and you can call them. If you're looking for a CPA, talk to your local CPA board to find a CPA who specializes in this area.
And Andy, I want to clarify too that the book, The Big Deal, it's a guide. It's not a how-to for someone to go this alone. Just from our conversation and the book, you need somebody to help process this with you, hire a great advisor. But this book offers so much in the sense of understanding the terminology, the landscape, what we'll be looking at, things that I would never have considered or understood if I was in that position to be selling a business.
And Dawn, I'm so glad that you picked up on that, because that's really what it is. It's a guide. It's the first step so that when you're having conversations with your advisors, you understand the landscape, you understand the terminology, you understand the process. That's really what it's intended to be. And without fail, and you made a great point, this is not a DIY process. It's just part of it. The reason is simply, as an owner, you are just too close to the company. And sometimes we just can't think clearly and objectively. And that's what your advisors are going to help you do, because they have experience with hundreds of transactions and they can tell you what is rational, what's acceptable, what's fair, how you might respond, how to process the information. That's the true value of these advisors.
Well, Andy Goldberg, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. The book is The Big Deal, A Practical Guide to Selling Your Business with Confidence and Clarity. Where can we find you, your work in this book?
So thank you so much, Dawn. The book is available on Amazon. You can also find out more about the book and some additional information about selling your business at thebigdealbook.com, www.thebigdealbook.com. You can reach me at Andy@thebigdealbook.com. And you can also reach me at 248 855-650-6500. I'd love to hear from your listeners and have any conversation they would like to on this topic.
Well, again, Andy, I appreciate this time and this work. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.